Through the gate we go. I think that rain is skirting around, Chris. You might be lucky.
Yes, I think so. We might even have some sun in a moment or two. We've just arrived at Norfolk's largest Roman town site. If we just sit down, there's a lovely seat here right at the entrance. We're very close to Caister St Edmund Parish Church, and there's a 30-acre field which is walled in to sort of encompass the entire portion of the Roman town as it was in AD 40. So nearly 2,000 years ago the Romans came to Caister St Edmund, and it's a really important site. And I got a lovely photograph of my father with three horses at the bottom of this field ploughing with a two-furrow plough, and he was only 16 years old. So it always amuses me. The field was in cultivation way back then. It's now managed by the Norfolk Archaeological Trust.
In Roman times this was walled. It was a giant square.
Absolutely, a huge wall with a moat round most of it, and in a moment or two I'll take you to the top and we'll look down into the moat. It's a kind of monumental feat of human endeavour to dig all that out by hand. There were no diggers or JCBs back then, and it was all done manually.
Quite a few slaves.
Yes, yes. That's what I feel I've been for the last 60 years, a slave of the farm. But the seat we're sitting on is some relevance to why I'm here today, and we've just looked at the little memorial plaque. Joan Constance Seaman, Knee Skinner, and her date of birth and death, and Alexander George Seaman, doctor, and he died in 2014. Devoted to each other, their family, and this place. So that was my aunt, Joan, and her husband, Alex, changed everything for me in one word after a Saturday afternoon shoot. And he gave the vote of thanks, which I'll never forget, almost makes me tearful. And he said, "Thank you, Chris, for such a wonderful afternoon's fun." He didn't say sport. Do you know what? It hit me like a sack of bricks, I suppose. And it took a year or two, but eventually the sportsman, as I suppose I was then, with the 12-bore or the catapult and everything I'd sort of taken war against the wildlife on the farm, it completely changed, sort of 180 degree turnaround, and it's the best thing I ever did. And I've brought you here for a reason, because
because your uncle said the word fun.
Yes, he did. Yes, there was a row of pheasants, hares, rabbits, woodcock, everything. There was some snipe there, we'd shot them. Many of those are now red list species. Even some grey partridge, which I'm trying to sort of have them banned, a red list species. We did the conundrum in a couple of weeks ago, asking a question, why should partridges be worried on the 2nd of September? Sunday's the 1st of September, there's no shooting on a Sunday, no game shooting. But it can be completely different, and the change that's happened to High Ash Farm is enormous in terms of the variety of wildlife that's come back. That's why I've brought you here. The wind's blowing, it's kind of taken the cobwebs away from both of us. So if we just stand up, we just walk up the little track behind us here, and it's awe-inspiring because we're standing almost on top of the Roman wall. We'll just walk a little bit further up.
Yes, the land rises up.
Yes, but the other side of it, it's breathtaking.
Oh yes, this is a huge ditch.
How about digging that out by hand? It's absolutely extraordinary feat of engineering. And then on top of this would have been a flint wall, and that provided the kind of battlements. But I brought you here for another reason, because High Ash Farm, we've got lots of chalk close to the surface, and a certain plant likes high pH soil here. And I walked along the top of this wall and managed to harvest by hand these tiny seeds from this particular plant. It's a species of mullein, and I brought you a tiny little sticker to show you how small the seeds are.
Oh, you've put them under sellotape.
Yes,
there.
I have.
Oh, they are small, aren't they?
They're tiny.
Just tiny dots.
Yep, tiny black dots.
And they're mullion.
That's mullion, but it's a special mullion. And here's the result of this year's flowers. The dead mullion stalks, but absolutely full of seed.
Oh, they love this bank, don't they?
Yes, they love it. Absolutely love it. It's all southeast facing, gets a full sun on it, high pH soil, and I walked along here with just a few grams of seed and let the wind, as it is today, blow the seed all over the wall, because the Romans used mortar to build their walls in between the flints. So there's chalk in the mix, as well as sand and the flints, and that's ideal. So the soil originally came to High Ash Farm from a railway crossing at Thorpe, and just on the outskirts of Norwich, and that was the first place this plant was recorded in the whole UK. It was in Gladstone's Botanicum, 1745. Sadly, the book got burnt. It was a beautiful manuscript with hand plates in it, and that illustrated the hoary mullion. But it said much about the city walls of Norwich, and I've never forgotten. So I fell in love with the plant and gathered some seed from High Ash Farm, then brought it here, and I've done little seedings all the way around. And now it's come into the news this last week or so, because a formerly extinct moth, the Norfolk snout.
Norfolk snout?
Yes, it's not my nickname. So it's been extinct in the UK, we think, since about 1971. But I have a secret suspicion that the moth, the adult moth, which was found very close to where we are, has been here all the time. And it's just been rediscovered by somebody who's very, very keen on moth collecting. That wind is incredible now, so we have to almost hug the microphone, nearly blowing us down into
this
the moat.
It's very windy, isn't it? But how exciting that a species thought gone and over for 50 years would come back like that.
It's mind-blowing.
But the Norfolk snout moth has only ever been found within miles of here, though,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes. There's lots of places all around Norfolk that the hoary mullion, Verbascum pulverulentum, actually grows. Snettersham is one, Heacham's another, Dursingham. They're dotted about, but generally it's on that lovely seam of chalk which comes in off the North Yorkshire coast, snakes down close to Norwich, hence much about the city walls of Norwich, close to Norwich Cathedral, and then it goes under the Downs and finishes with the White Cliffs of Dover. And on that seam, you do get hoary mullion growing, but it's really an East Anglian speciality. So to bring a moth back that it's probably been here, but it's been rediscovered since 1970, that's a good 50 years, isn't it? We're all mind-blown away. The moth wasn't actually discovered here, but we're going to do some surveys to see if there are any larvae in this particular area which feed on the leaves. But I've always been fascinated by the plant, because you can look down there, there's a pure white one, the leaf this is, and the plant has protected itself against attacks by moths by producing this kind of inedible sort of fluff on the top side of the leaves.
It almost looks to me like icing sugar sometimes.
Yes, it does, yes. Hence, some people call it ghostly, and because of this sort of white appearance of the plant. They're tall. And
these ones have gone over, and some of them are like 6 foot tall, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yeah, and they produce... one plant like that will produce a million seeds, but we think the seeds survive in the soil for 100 years, maybe 200 years, even longer.
There's one with our foot here.
And so they're quite white and fluffy. So what you need to look for, Gudgeon, is a tiny caterpillar and some leaf damage. But you've got to be a real expert to do that, and it's way past my capability. But you can actually get the bottom of the leaves, and you can rub the little hoary, the hoary just because it means white, rather like a hoar frost in the morning. And look at the underside of the leaves, very, very pale and covered in that white fluff to deter caterpillars.
Very velvety to the touch.
It is. Obviously, it's a great interest for the moth. And we've had the mullion moth caterpillar here at the farm for many years, and a huge green and black caterpillar. The moth's nothing at all to look at, but this is quite something. So the correct name, of the Latin name of this new Norfolk snout, is a micro moth, by the way, about a 20 mil wingspan, is Nothris verbascella. So there we are. That's a first for sort of Stoke Holy Cross and Caister St Edmund, and hopefully it'll turn up in other places around Norfolk. Now we know what to look for. The moth itself is not very exciting either, but to have an extinct species to come back from beyond the grave, if you like, is quite something. So thank you, Dr. Alex Seaman, for turning me round accidentally, and it's the best thing that you ever did.